Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this Christmas morning, which celebrates the Nativity of our Lord. Today, we will hear and discuss our Gospel from St. John. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Celebrity Waiters Dinner is rapidly becoming a delightful fundraising tradition. The Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament and the Spirit Center Board ask you to join them for this fifth annual event. Friday, January 20th at the Ortiz Center. In addition to the entertainment, music, dinner, silent and live auctions, photo booth, table decoration contests, and awards to celebrity waiters in various categories, youth of the Coastal Bend will be recognized for their outstanding service to the community. This fundraiser will benefit further construction of the Spirit Center near Blunzer, offering a place for the spiritual, educational, and social development of youth and adults in South Texas. Additional celebration will be for the announcement that the Spirit Center youth facilities will be opening this coming summer. For sponsor, auction item, table, and individual ticket information, call 888-7537 or visit BlunzerSpiritCenter.org.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Barbara, and Merry Christmas to everyone else out there that is listening this morning. I especially want to greet our friends who are either at home or in nursing facilities, hospitals, and our brothers who might be incarcerated, our sisters who are incarcerated at this time. I know it's a very difficult day for you, but this is a day of hope, a day of joy, so I just want to greet all of you and let you know that I'm praying for each and every one of you and ask God to flood your heart with joy and peace today.
Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. John, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
Before I do that, just want to recognize that there are three different readings for this celebration of Christmas, the ones that we had at midnight and then early in the morning called the Mass at Dawn. And then the reading we're going to do now from the Gospel of St. John is the readings for the day, so throughout the daytime. So we decided to use those since that's the time of day we're in on Christmas right. Day. So this is the day, Christmas Day reading for Christmas. And it's from the Gospel of St. John, the very beginning chapter. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life. And this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him. But the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, the one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me. From his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace. Because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. With this being the first chapter and first verses of John is a gospel that so many of us have heard before and recognize, but it's a very complex gospel, I think. There's a lot in it to peel away and interpret.
You're so right. And I think, you know, the first thing to recognize are the words "in the beginning," because that would certainly take us back to the beginning of the Bible in the Old Testament. In the beginning, God created male and female. God created the heavens and the stars and the whole story of creation. But it begins with those words, "in the beginning." Now we're entering into a new creation, what we call the new creation, the creation of grace that comes through grace, through our faith in Jesus Christ. So St. John begins this gospel of his. The very first opening line is, "in the beginning." And that ushering in the new order that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So I think that's certainly the first thing. The important thing also for this gospel is to recognize what St. John is trying to communicate to his listeners and to those who read this in future generations. It is certainly not only spiritual, but it is also very, very deeply theological and anthropological, helping us to understand God's plan for the world. And what I mean by that is that St. John testifies to the fact that the Word is the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, as we know, come in the flesh, and that he preexisted, that he is from all eternity, that Jesus existed in the Trinity with God the Father, the Holy Spirit, prior to coming to earth, on this day that we call Christmas, or being conceived in his mother's womb, which we celebrate on March the 25th. So this pre-existence is very important, because when Jesus speaks, he said, "It is whoever hears me hears the Father. Whoever sees me sees the Father. I do not come to bring my own word, but the word of the Father." So God the Father generates this presence, this truth that he is now coming to bring us. So he's not a prophet. St. John wants to make clear through this that Jesus is not a prophet, which is chosen by God, but this is one sent by God who already preexisted, and that in his word, in the truth that he brings us, he brings light and life, saying to all of us that in embracing him, we find the true gift of ourselves. The Second Vatican Council stated, and St. John Paul II in his first encyclical states and restated, that Jesus Christ reveals man or the human person to himself, so that we see in Jesus the mirror of who we can be. We always talk about potential and living up to our best, our potential. Well, our best is right here in front of us today on Christmas. The child of Nazareth, the baby of Bethlehem, is the one we are called to be, who through his truth, which he's received from all eternity, now communicating in human form, is the one who can reveal us to ourselves, who we truly are.
When I was doing some research on this gospel, I read that it said, "This word of God," in quotes, "was made flesh," and it said the Greek word sarx, usually translated flesh, means the entire human person in all its weakness and mortality.
Actually, that is very important for us. It's not just an existence in the flesh, a corporal existence, but it's the entire person. So that's where you can see later on in the development of our understanding of Jesus, our theology of Jesus, what we call our Christology, understanding of the Christ, we defined through the councils and in time, through the writings of the fathers of the church, that he is God and man, so that man in the flesh, body, soul, and spirit, but also the person of the second person of the Holy Trinity. So this, what we call the hypostatic union, where God, the divine, doesn't commingle in the sense that it's like a coming together of two, of a watering down of one or the other, but that God and man exist together fully, fully God, fully man, in the person of Jesus Christ. This is a mystery. But that word sarx really does say that Jesus came not just in the flesh to house the person of God, as some of the heresies of the early church said, but that he truly became everything we are, with our same feelings, our same heart, mind, culture, his culture. But everything that is human exists in him, but also truly God in the same time. So it's a God becoming flesh in the sense of an entire person.
Well, and when you talk about him becoming truly human, that included the suffering and death, you know,
exactly.
Of course, which will, you know,
experience everything we do except sin. So even our pain, our feelings of failure, loss, everything that we experience, he has experienced.
Exactly. And as it said, the John signals his interpretation of Jesus' passion, which is the suffering and death. It's the potent revelation of God's own life and love poured out for us. This is the fullness we have all received through the divine word made flesh.
Right. And, you know, I think, of course, we've talked about this before, but it's it might seem strange on Christmas Day to speak about this, but, you know, probably the most human of experiences, the most the deepest human experience is really to feel alone, to feel abandoned. I mean, that's the effect of sin, is the alienation from God, the alienation from other people. And he even experienced that on the cross. My God, why have you abandoned me? So in that, even modern day psychologists, psychiatrists even say that if he really was God, and, you know, the person that wrote that questioned that, as we do not. But he said, if he really is God or was God, that abandonment experience would be the proof that he entered so deeply into our own experience that he would allow himself to feel totally alienated from God, and yet expressing his full faith in the Father by saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So it truly is a mystery, and one today that we celebrate with family and friends and all the other things that go with it, but truly it is God's gift to us today to celebrate the true gift of his Son to each one of us.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Your Cathedral Concert Series wants to wish you a Happy New Year on January 13th with the Voice of Aggieland. The Texas A&M University Singing Cadets will perform in a New Year's Gala at the A&M University Corpus Christi's Performing Arts Center, 7:30 p.m., Friday, January 13th. The Singing Cadets' repertoire ranges from stunning hymns and catchy show tunes to spectacular songs about the Aggie tradition.
We are the Aggies are we.
This renowned group, founded in 1893 as the A&M Glee Club, has earned international fame as a men's choir of superior quality, disciplined leadership, and character. They also have a lot of fun on stage. For ticket prices and more information, including how you can join the St. Cecilia Guild of Concert Series supporters, call 888-7444.
We are from Texas AMC.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, I was looking at the Magnificat for today, Christmas Day, and there's a quote from Pope Benedict XVI in the very beginning of the the mass information. And his last sentence was, "Christmas has become the feast of gifts in imitation of God, who has given himself to us. Let us allow our heart, our soul, and our mind to be touched by this fact."
Yes, that's a beautiful quote, and the Pope speaks so much there in the previous verses of that about simplicity, and that God made himself simple mm-hmm. in Jesus so that we could see in him a gift. A few days ago, there was the stanza of the verse from Isaiah, which we're familiar with, where Ahaz is told to ask for a sign from God, and he says, "I will not tempt the Lord our God," and ask for a sign. You know, the first beatitude is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And in thinking of that, thinking of Ahaz, who was the king of Judah at the time, you know, when we're kind of in a position in life of being self-sufficient, being powerful, having all that we need, we don't think of asking for anything. We don't ask another. In fact, many times we have experienced that it's difficult to buy for people because we think, well, what do they need? Yeah. Or we even know people say, well, what do you need? And you go, well, I need nothing. We all need something. But in that experience of Ahaz, it reminded me that we can be self-sufficient in life, and that's a danger, because in that we don't experience the need of being simple and being poor in spirit. But on that same day, in that same set of readings, we turned to Mary, and it was the gospel of the Annunciation. Mary didn't ask to be the mother of Jesus. It was a gift, a total, and she would say, even though she was immaculately conceived without sin, but she would say, "I'm unworthy." In fact, she did ask, "How can this be?" And that's the position for us, not only to celebrate Christmas today, but the position for our lives, that when we go through life thinking that we are self-sufficient, that we don't need anything, that that even a gift is nice, but, you know, I could have done without it, or whatever our attitude might be, we need to be people who know how to receive gifts, whether they be spiritual gifts, whether they be material, but to be really grateful, to be able to say thank you. Mary responded to the gift that she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus by saying, "Let it be done to me according to your will," that she submitted her life to God and his will. That was her gift back. But it's only really, when you think about it, it's really only those that are poor in spirit, in other words, the simple that Pope Benedict speaks about here, that can understand what a true gift is. And the gift of Christmas is the child Jesus. But it takes the simple of heart to understand the depth of that gift. You know, when we go to Mass today, the Eucharist, again, we may go expecting great music. We may go expecting our favorite Christmas carol. We may go expecting the priest to be there to say the Mass, for one thing. Right. We expect it to start on time. We expect this and that. And these are things that we grow up with, expecting things to happen in a certain way. I remember a missionary friend of mine who served for many years in Brazil. And on Sundays, of course, the people came from the villages and all over. And he said one day he sat there for 2 hours waiting for these simple people to arrive. And, you know, he couldn't expect them to be there at 9 o'clock or whatever it was. They arrived when they arrived. And there's a certain beauty to that. There's a certain rhythm of life. Which doesn't expect things of people, but sees that each one who arrives is a gift. So I think, you know, not that we can live our own lives that way. I don't mean to restructure our whole society that way. But there is a certain value in looking at these other examples of what it means to live life simply without expecting things, which means putting demands on people. But it also means for us to live life to receive everything as a gift. For us, of course, the Eucharist, the body and the blood of the Lord, must be seen as gift. We don't deserve it. We shouldn't expect that this is given to us because it is God's gift, even though we know it's a scheduled time, et cetera, but to receive everything as gift is to receive the person of Jesus in his entirety as Mary did, as a complete gift from God, and submitting our life to him. What's interesting about that, then, from that point, Mary went to Elizabeth. Again, Elizabeth didn't ask for her to come. Mary went as a gift, a pure gift of love to Elizabeth, and in that, Elizabeth recognized the Lord's presence. So my whole point in all of this, I'm kind of rattling on here, but my whole point in here is that Christmas really is about the gift of Jesus, God and man who suffered our life like we did, who rejoiced in our life as we did, but pure gift. And all that we receive in life should be received as gift. The more that we build up a spirit of expectation, of wanting, asking, in the sense of selfishness, we will miss the true meaning of this day. So your quote from Pope Benedict, I think, is very apropos for today, that we should live our life in the simplicity that God has created us in so that we can receive everything in life as a gift. And we start with today, the gift of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
You were talking about the Eucharist being a gift, and I think sometimes we take that for granted. We go to Mass every Sunday, and we have the Eucharist, and I think this is a wonderful day to reflect back on that and look at it as something, as a gift, every single either day or Sunday that we go to Mass.
Everything we do habitually,
right,
can lose the meaning, mm-hmm, of gift. Each other, you know, we expect each other to be there,
right,
you know, or we expect a job, we expect, and we can lose a sense that everything's a gift. But I think that's why the first beatitude that Jesus gave us is, blessed are the poor in spirit. That is something that needs to pervade our entire being, that everything is received. It's also why I think Pope Francis is speaking to the church, to all of us today, about this is has to be the church of the poor, not just the materially poor. And of course, that he's stretching us to look beyond to the periphery, to people that we normally don't minister to, that we need to learn more to do, but also to be a church of poor in spirit, that that we really take on a different attitude, that everything's a gift from God, and that we should share the gifts that we have received.
Mm-hmm. And he's being such a wonderful role model to us.
Yes.
To be aware of those that are disenfranchised within, right, our communities and even in our own families.
Well, yeah, and the more that we are in touch with the poor in that sense, mm-hmm, in whatever manifestation that is, mm-hmm, the more we become poor in spirit, in the sense that we realize how rich we are in many ways. And even if we're poor and we encounter somebody who's poorer than we are, it kind of brings us back to the reality of that what we have is a gift,
right,
whether it is an abundance or less than abundance. But I think this is really the message of Christmas, the message of simplicity, that we need to be in touch with our very being, that everything we have is a gift, beginning with the gift of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the beginning of really having that poor in spirit mentality that we're called to have.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thought for us to reflect on today. Thank you, Bishop. So if you could end our segment this morning with a closing prayer and a blessing.
We pray the prayer of the day at the beginning of Mass. Let us pray. O God, who wonderfully created the dignity of human nature and still more wonderfully restored it, grant, we pray, that we may share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And may Almighty God bless you today and always in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Christmas morning with us. Stay tuned for the rest of the day. KLUX will continue the sounds of Christmas, and it will start right after the Cathedral Mass. Have a beautiful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.